We are in the middle of doing Perek Vav Pasuk Tes. We already went through the Mitzudos, Rashi, and the Radak. Let's just review it. It's a very hard Pasuk. It's an important Pasuk. Pasuk Tes. V'zachu filei teichem. You see, there's an important medrash we have to do, which we'll come to now. But let's first review. When you go into Galus, Yechezkel says to Hashem, V'zachu filei teichem oisi ba'goyim, your refugees. Okay, I guess that's a very good word for what's going on today, right? That when you go out among the nations of the world, those who escape from Eretz Yisrael, those who survive the Melchama, those who survive the Chorbin, and they wander throughout the world and they seek refuge in foreign nations, and when they finally get there, they will remember me. They will reflect. When they have time to sit down and think about what has happened to them, they will think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zachu fili teichem, your refugees will remember, or you see me, ba'goyim, amongst the nations, asher nishbu sham, among whom they are taken captive. In other words, they're not going to be going there voluntarily. They're going to go among the nations. The nations are going to take them as captives. Asher nishbarti eslibam hazoyneh. Now we had this discussion on Friday, a discussion what exactly this expression means. We learned two interpretations. You'll remember, Rashi says, asher nishbarti eslibam hazoyneh, how I was willing to reconcile with you. Hashem is saying, nishbarti eslibam nishbarti. I was broken. Hashem is saying, I was broken, meaning in a positive way. I was willing to forgive you. I was willing to be machnia kaviyachol myself to Klal Yisrael and forgive you if only you would do tshuva. How did I show I was willing to forgive you? I sent the Nevi'im to tell you to do tshuva and tell you that it's not too late. So when you're going to now be in exile amongst the nations of the world and you're going to reflect what has happened, you're going to be angry at yourself, realizing that you brought this upon yourself. We have no one to blame but ourselves, because asher nishparti, I was willing to forgive you, es libam hazoineh, your crooked heart, asher sor me'olai, v'es enehem hazoineis, acharei gilu lehem, I was willing to forgive you for transgressing by having your eyes stray after abominations. And when you come to this realization that you have no one to blame for your sorrows but yourselves, then you're going to eat yourselves up alive. Vinakotu bifnehem, which we learn to mean either you'll be disgusted in your own eyes, or it means you will recognize that you are deserving to be cut off. Nakotu either means to be disgusting, or it means to be cut off in your own eyes. El haros, because of the sins, asher asu l'chol to'avos sehem, because of the sins that you have done in regard to all of your abominations. Okay, so I just translated the pasuk according to Rashi, according to the Radak, according to Radak, the words asher nishbarti eslibam means, it means. Let's actually read the Radak. Let's read the Mitzudos. We did this last week, but I see we have new people here today. We're not here on Friday, so let's go quickly through the Mitzudos, Davin, and Pasik Tes. Pasik Tes, V'zachu Pilei Techem, Haplei Timehem, those people who are refugees, who escape the Chorbin, Yizkru Bi, they will remember me, they will remember Hashem, Yosem Ben Hagoyim Asher Nishbu Sham, when you find yourself in Golos, you'll reflect upon what happened, and then you will think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chayzer Mufarish, and the Pasik now explains in detail, She Yizkru Eis asher nishparti v'netzavti milibam hazoineh. According to the Mitzudos David, these words mean that you will remember how you have caused Hashem sadness. V'nishparti es libam, nishparti is an expression which means how you have caused Hashem to be broken. You broke Hashem. You caused Hashem sadness. You caused Hashem pain. How? Because es libam hazoineh, through your hearts that stray to worship idols, and through your eyes that stray to follow after Gili Arayos.
Asher, talking about physically strayed or spiritual.
Hashem is not physical, and Hashem is right. Beyond okay, our understanding.
If you went to Golis, if you physically left the Eretz Yisrael, let's say. or if you're spiritually.
Spiritually, right. No, it means spiritually. Spiritually, that in Eretz Yisrael we worship Avodah Zarah, Agili Arayos. The pasuk goes on to specify. Libam ha'azoyne, our hearts strayed from Hashem.
We're not talking about physically leaving
us. No, that was not a problem. During the time of the Bayis Rishon, people didn't leave. No, Adarabba, they wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael. No one had any desire to go and go to Uganda and build a new nation. That wasn't an issue. Everyone was happy to stay in Eretz Yisrael, but they wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael as goyim. They wanted to worship idols. They wanted to do all the averos. So hear that, according to the Mesudas David, when you did this, you caused Hashem sadness. And the way we describe causing Hashem's sadness is with the term shvira. You broke Hashem's heart. You broke Hashem's heart by doing avodah zarah. Ulu tosefes beyar amar asher sar me'olai v'yesinehem ritzon loymar u'me'inehem hazonos achrei avodas kochavim. Your eyes straight after idols ritzon loymar oz yiskru. At this point in time, when you're in Golus, you're going to reflect ho'atzvus shahayu lefonai. The sadness that you've caused Hashem because of your hearts that strayed, milibam hazoyneh umeinayim hazoynais, and what are you going to say to yourself? Vinokotu bifnehem yichrusu beinay atzman. You'll cut yourselves off. You'll say to yourself, "It's not kedai to live anymore. It's not kedai to go on. We deserve to be cut off from this world, cut off from Hashem. We're such evil people. We are so bad. We've done so much harm, we are beyond hope." And that itself is a very big problem. The people, the Jewish people, will judge themselves and will conclude that they deserve to be cut off from Hashem because of their sins. Because the sins, the evil they did was an addition to their abomination, which means an expression here, they added evil upon evil. Their evil went to a degree that was beyond repair, sha'asu me'os, that they've done from the previous times. So here, the pasuk here is predicting a very horrible reality, that here in Eretz Yisrael, you continue to do averos, you refuse to listen to the Nevi'im. You should know the day is going to come when you're going to regret. Hashem says to them, you're going to regret what you have done. The day is going to come when you're going to go into exile. You're going to be scattered among the nations of the world. You're going to be taken as captives. And then you'll be sitting down, lying in your prison cell, or lying or in your misery, and you'll begin to reflect about the good old days. And you'll remember, wow, you know, it was good in Eretz Yisrael. We had a Torah, we had a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had the Shekhinah, and we had Nevi'im, we had prophets, and they told us not to sin. And look what we have done. We have rebelled against Hashem. And you know something? We deserve what we got. And not only do we deserve what we got, we don't deserve that there should be any future hope for us to return once again to Eretz Yisrael. And that, to a certain degree, is the ultimate curse. It's one thing when the person recognizes he did not very well to be punished, but he has hope for rehabilitation, hope for to return back to society. Maybe one day we can repair the damage. Nope. We recognize the sin is so great, there will never be any rehabilitation, there will never be any potential for us to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we are goyzer upon ourselves, koris. We accept and we're goyzer, we should be cut off, it should all come to an end, and we should be finished. This is what the Navi is predicting here in this pasuk. It's an extremely powerful pasuk, lefi pshutei shel mikra. Just the similar words of the pasuk are really, when you think about what it says, is really very, very frightening. And fortunately, we know it's true. We know it came true. That's the story of Golus. Okay, now let's see. There's a Medrash. The Medrash here is elaborate. I'm going to read you probably most of the Medrash. It's an interesting Medrash. Mm-hmm. Let me find the page first. That's the most important thing. I can't read if I don't know where the page is. Okay, here it is. This Medrash, as Nicole always wants to know, chapter and verse. Shir HaShirim, Rabbah, Parsha Zayin, Pasuk Ches. Okay, so what does the Medrash say? The Medrash says, basically injects two sets of people into this pasuk. Either Hananya and Mishol v'Azariah, who were thrown into the den of lions by... No, they were thrown into the furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. Or the other candidate for the pullet, the escapee, is Mordechai v'Esther. Now, let me read you at least part of the Medrash. Here we go. It says here in the pasuk, "Okay, asher nishbu sham." The focus of the Medrash is what is the expression "nishbu" v'loy ne'amar asher shavu. The Medrash is asking a question. According to the rules of grammar, the pasuk should say Asher Shavusham, the survivors, the escapees, the refugees who were taken shavu, who were taken captive among the goyim, the nations of the world. That's not what it says. It says Nishbeu Sham. So what does this mean? So let's elaborate. Here we go. So we have over here Omar Rabbi Chunya b'Shem Rabbi Dosa Bar Tabas. The first opinion says Shnei Yitzarim Barak Hashem Baruch Hu Bi'Olamu Yitzavod Lizar Yitzes Nus. Hashem created in this world two different evil inclinations: a Yitzahara to worship idols, and a Yitzahara to worship to be nichshol to sin with forbidden relations, women. Yitzavod Lizar Yitzavod Lizar Yitzes Nus. Yitzavod Lizar Kvar Nekar. The Yetzer Nushu Kayam. One we got rid of and one is still among us. The Yetzer of the Zohar we know does not exist, and the Yetzer for Nashim does still exist very strong, even though Chazal tell us it's only half of what it used to be. Now, Ein Masai, at what point in time did the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah come to an end? Ein Masai Nekar, Avodah Zarah, so we all know, Rabbi, now here's a little bit different, I can do this a little bit different than what we are used to hearing. We always, we know the Gemara Masechta Megillah, it came to an end at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, at the building of the Bayis Sheni. When they rebuilt the Bayis Sheni, they saw from the very beginning, there's no way this is going to last even one day if we have with us the Yetzara for Avodah Zarah. What's the purpose? So they got rid of it. That's what we are more accustomed to, we're familiar with from the Gemara Masechta Megillah. However, this Medrash in Shir HaShirim is a little bit different. It's not a contradiction, but it puts a different focus. Rabbi Bino Amar, Elu Mordechai v'Esther. Do you know when it came to an end? At the time of Mordechai v'Esther. Meaning, Mordechai v'Esther was not much before the building of the Bayis Sheni. I mean, that was the Hachana. That Esther, her influence, it was to Esther that Daryavesh gave permission for them to be rebuilt, to proceed and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But it's telling us that the roots of the Bittul Avodah Zarah took place at the time of Purim. So now we have an understanding that when we celebrate Purim, one of the major causes for celebration, points that we emphasize on Purim, is a tekufa, is an event in Jewish history where the event that happened was instrumental in obliterating the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. It puts an entirely new focus on the miracle of Purim.
You're just obliterating Yetzirah for everyone in the world, or just for the Jews?
The whole world. You don't find anyone today, we don't see worshipping Avodah Zarah with a Lashma. Chazal said, but you go to the church, and you go all these Buddhism, wow, and you name it. Chazal say, Minug Avosehem Biyodehem. They don't really believe in it. They're not really serious. This is what their parents did. So they, right, in some cases, it's just a good business. Okay, it's Scientology.
Or it's cultural tradition.
Cultural tradition, it's a good business. Do they really, if you take these people and you speak to them, do they really believe in it? Do they really have a geschmack?
There's no theology associated with it.
They'll admit that it's just, it's dry. Okay, there's something very dry. On the other hand, people will tell you that Avodah Zarah didn't really go away, it just shifted. It shifted to the pursuit of the almighty dollar. We don't find in ancient times the desire for wealth and materialism. That l'chayre did not exist in ancient times. Did it? Do we find people lived a life of luxury and the average man had a quest to enjoy life to its fullest like we have today? Some will say no. Some will say yes. Those who tell you no, it's because that today that's where the Yetzirah has shifted. Hashem took away the Yetzirah from worshipping objects and instead created it, transferred it, channeled it into another form of strange service, to serve yourself. To serve yourself, to satisfy yourself by enjoying this world to its fullest. Okay, let's go further. So let's go step by step. It's a very important message. The first opinion says that the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was put to an end the time of Mordechai v'Esther. And then we have Rabbanan Amri. The Rabbanan disagree. They say, Elu Hananya Mishol v'Azaria. the time of Avodah Zarah came to an end in the time of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which was before. Okay,
this was performed by the Anshei
Knesset
HaGadol.
Yes. Wasn't that at a later? So that's what we said. That's why we started with the Anshei Knesset HaGadol. It took place at least 18 years after the miracle of Purim. So the answer is, and Daniel took place, the story of Hananiah and Mishael Azariah took place at least, I don't know, 50 years, maybe more, maybe even 60, 70 years before, whatever it was. The point is, the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, from where do they derive the zuchus, the merit, the power to do such a thing? They could not do it on their own. They had to draw from a zuchus that Klal Yisrael had to succeed in removing the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. What was their source, their fuel? So we have two opinions, Rabbi Binah and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Binah says it was the miracle of Purim. That's what gave them the koyach to succeed. Rabbanan say no, it wasn't the miracle of Purim, it was the Maisa of Hananiah, Mishael ve'Azariah. When they were Moser Nefesh, they allowed themselves to be thrown into a furnace to show that they, in order not to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, to make a statement, a public statement, we will not bow down to an idol. That Zuchus, it wasn't just them, Mepharshim say, it inspired Klal Yisrael. There was a change in attitude, a change in frame of mind, and that Zuchus was a great merit for Klal Yisrael, which was capitalized by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah.
Because both of those incidents involved resisting Avodah Zarah.
Resisting Avodah Zarah, correct. Haman made himself into an idol. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave. Okay, let's see. So the Rabbanan say it was Hananiah Mishael ve'Azariah. Now this is the interesting part of the marriage. Each one goes on to prove they are correct. Each one, they have a debate. Rabbi Binah and Rabbanan, who is correct? Rabbanan mesivin Rabbanan l'Rabbi Binoya. The Rabbanan posed a challenge to Rabbi Binah. How can you tell me that it was Mordechai v'Esther? V'chi al yidei tzadik yichidi haya yetzer avodah zarah nekar min ha'olam? Can it really be that through the zechus of an individual, one person, that was sufficient for the whole, for the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah to succeed in eradicating the Yetzirah that affected every living creature? Mosiv Rabbi Binah L'Rabbanan, he responded. They respond, V'chi Mordechai V'Esther Yechidim Hayu, whoever said it was a Yachid. Just because we said Mordechai V'Esther does not mean it was only they. The whole Klal Yisrael participated. As it says in the Pasuk, Tsumu olai v'yal tochlu v'yal tishtu shloishes yamim. The entire Klal Yisrael fasted for 3 days in the time of the Purim miracle. So it was the whole Klal Yisrael. So therefore it was an individual. Okay, fine, that's one point. Hador Messiah. Now the Gemara goes on to say, not only is the answer of Rabbi Binah an excellent response, will prove that Rabbi Binah is correct. Messiah le Rabbi Binoya, Amar Rabbi Tanchuma, Rabbi Miyosha, Rabbi Yirmiyah b'Shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Kahana, whole list of names. Ksivit says Sakfo Efer Yutsa l'Rabim. Now, what does it mean? Yutsa? Yutsa means it was spread for the masses. Now, the Gemara goes on to say the Lord name of Sakfo Efer Love Shu Harabim. Why does it say that someone else had to dress? Each person did not think about this. Comes to Pesach, you're not allowed to pour your own cup of wine. Someone has to pour the cup of wine for you. Because Cheirus demands that some I be served. Okay, I remember many years ago, I was at a Simcha in Eretz Yisrael, and we were in a hotel. Was it my parents? And we were in a hotel, and one of my niece was then probably 3 years old. And the waiter came, and he gave everyone, he came with a big fancy hat. The chef actually came, and he gave everyone their portion. And she did not get a portion. She the girl, 3 years old. The chef is not going to come bring a 3-year-old child a portion of food. But she had a seat at the table. So my mother, Zichron Levracha, she gave her granddaughter something to eat, some of her food. She gave the kid, look at it. So the kid goes like this, and she says, no. Ho'ish Yavi. Ho'ish Yavi. I have to be served the same way everyone else is served. I'm not going to tolerate this disrespect. So my mother couldn't get over it. She couldn't get over how a little child could have such tightness, such an attitude. Ho'ish Yavi. So here is what happened? I don't remember what happened. It's not important what happened.
She's still holding her arms crossed.
Ish Yavi. She has to be served like everyone else. Okay, so here is the sin. When it comes to Pesach, that's the way it is. When it comes to Pesach, one is not allowed to pour his own wine. The wine must be served. The wine must be poured by someone else. It is an expression of cheros. What about mourning? Avelos. With regard to Avelos, it's the same thing. A person who is choshev does not dress himself in sackcloth. It's an amazing concept. One who is choshev is dressed by someone else. It's a ceremony. Go to the Rechayv Ho'ir, into the town square, and you stand there, and the member, the gabbai of the kehila, presents the clothing, the sackcloth, and dresses the chashuvim, and then they begin to pray. But the ordinary folk, the ordinary people, your average Tom, Dick, and Harry, they don't get the service. They themselves put the clothing, the sackcloth upon themselves without any assistance. At the time of the Purim miracle, it's an amazing medrash, no one put on the sackcloth by themselves. Every single person was dressed by someone else. Sackcloth efer, yutzah, was spread out, larabim, for the masses. In other words, everyone dressed someone else because everyone was choshev. Everyone was distinguished. That, and why was everyone distinguished? Because everyone appreciated that what we're doing today by fasting, following the order of Esther, Tzumu Olai V'Al Teichu V'Al Tishtu Shloi Shes Yomim, is something which will bring the Geula. So therefore, Rabbi Bina says, or the Gemara, this Medrash says, that is an indication that it wasn't just Mordechai and Esther who were instrumental in bringing the Geula. The entire Klal Yisrael, they were the ones who brought the Geula. It was a very special generation, and it's hidden in a pasuk you would never imagine. In three letters, Yitzah L'Rabin. It doesn't say the Medrash, Lovshu Harabin.
Passive,
it was done for someone else. It doesn't say they themselves dressed themselves. It says Yitzah L'Rabin. No, there are many parallels between Tisha B'Av and Purim. You know, some say that the nigun, I'm not familiar with these, the nigunim, the nuance, the nigun is that the nigun of Megillas Esther is very similar to the nigun of Eicha. There's a very... What? Okay, there are certain sukkim that we sing just like Eicha, but even the general nigun, the experts tell us, is that there is a very strong similarity between the two. There are many parallels, and one interesting parallel over here is Pesach. You are served in an avelus. If you're choshev, you're also served. There's a dignified way to mourn. Mourning is not just you come with shmatis and you lie down on the floor. There is dignity in how to mourn over the Chumbeis HaMikdash, and the dignity is only done if you are choshev. Part of the avelus is to be choshev. I'm going further over in the Medrash, you don't have it. Tzadikim ein samim ba'atzam ho'efer el ha'shamash samuhu o'yseluchem. Therefore, that's why it says Yitzel Rabin. Okay, let me jump ahead. So that concludes the Gemara's, the Medrash's proof to the Shita of Rabbi Bina. It was the Zuchus of Mordechai v'Yester, for whom the Anshei Knesses HaGadolah was able, and there's Zuchus was able to wipe out the Yetzar for Avodah Zarah. Then we go to, then the Medrash goes further. However, to be fair, I'll bring a support to the sheet of the Rabbanan that it was in the Zuchus of Hananya, Mishol v'Azariah, that the Anshei Knesses HaGadolah were able to oike the Yetzar. The following is a Messiah l'Rabbanan. What's the raya? Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chilkiah, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel, V'zochu, this pasuk we just learned here in Yechezkel, in Perek Vav, pasuk test is the support of the shita of the Rabbanan. V'zochru filiteichem oisi ba'goyim asher nishbushan. The survivors will remember me amongst the nations where they are taken captive. Umiu filiteichem. Who are the survivors? So we learned the pasuk, it means everyone, every single one who survived, wherever they were to be found, throughout the world. The Medrash says, no, it refers specifically to three people. Elu, Hananya, Mishael, ve'Azariah. How do I know it was them? Sha'ayu pilitim, mikiv shanu esh. Why are they called, first of all, why are they called survivors? Not just that they were survivors from the Churban of Yerushalayim. They were survivors from the Kivshan Ho'esh. They did not die. How do I know that we're referring to? Because it says Nishbu Bagoyim, Asher Shavu Sham Lo Enksiv Kan, Ele Bagoyim Asher Nishbu Sham. The word Nishbu, verse, the word Shavu, has a connotation that they went down to Bavel, to the Goyim, as free men. I'm a free man. And while they were free men in Golos, they were then taken captive. That was not true for the Goyim. The Goyim were taken captive in Yerushalayim and dragged down to Bavel. Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah went to Bavel as free men. They were free men. They went down with Acharosh v'Hamasker. Okay, I don't know the exact details, but we'll trust the Medrash that they were there living in Bavel as free men, and then they were drafted, and then they were noted for their skills and talents. And the Nebuchadnezzar said, "You're going to be on my team. You're going to be at my service because you have the skills that I need here." In the Malchus, they were taken later as captives. So the expression, the nuance of expression that it says Nishbu and does not say Shavu, indicates they were started out as free men in Golus and then taken captive. That only applies to people like Hananiah, Mishael, ve'Azariah. That does not apply to the majority of Klal Yisrael who were taken captive from the very, very beginning. And that's how we know this pasuk refers to them. And what does this pasuk here say? The pasuk praises them, and this idea opens up a new insight into the pasuk. V'zochru filiteichem osi, they will remember me. The fact that people are thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very great merit for Klal Yisrael. So, and therefore, that's why that is why. And I guess the proof is also it's not telling you all of the details. It's not telling you, but I'm making an assumption that it really comes from the end of the pasuk, where it says Vinakotu bifnehem el haraos asher asu l'chol to avosehem. What does it mean Vinakotu? To cut off. When we translated the pasuk originally, we explained this to mean the degree of depression and yeyosh, despair, was so great, or will be so great, that people will give up hope of there ever being a geula. They'll come to Golus, they'll reflect upon their sins, what has happened to them, and they'll realize, you know, we're done, we're finished, there's no hope. There's never going to be a geula. We don't deserve there should be a geula. People will decree upon themselves kares, nakotu bifnehem. But according to the Medrash, what it means is, no, they're proactive. They're coming to Golus, they're going to reflect what we have done, our sins, and therefore we're going to cut off the source of evil in an extreme way. We're not just going to do tshuva, we're going to take the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah and cut it down. We're going to wipe it out. And who's going to do this? The Pilei Techem, the survivors. The survivors, who are the survivors? The survivors in the Kivshan Oish, Hananya, Mishael, ve'Azariah. Why will they have the koyach to do this? Because they are the ones who brought an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through their mesiras nefesh of allowing themselves to be thrown into the furnace. Okay, so this is a powerful medrash, very powerful pasuk. Just the Pshut Shel Mikra is a very powerful pasuk to show how far depression and despair can go. Yeyosh and the Musar and the Medrash, again, which presents the fascinating idea that there are two different candidates for the merit for those who are responsible for the zuchus of how the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah was able to succeed in being oiker the Yetzer Sahara for Avodah Zarah? Was it Mordechai v'Esther? Was it Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah? And the Medrash points out that don't make a mistake and think that Mordechai v'Esther, they alone are the ones who are responsible for the Purim miracle. That's a mistake. No, Purim is not so far away. Already in Chodesh Shvat, only 45 days until Purim, it's not just Mordechai v'Esther, it's the entire Klal Yisrael. How do we know this? Tsumu olah v'al toichlu v'al tishtu shloishes yamim. And we have this amazing, amazing principle, is that yutza l'rabim, there's a dignified way to be misabel. There's a dignified way to mourn, to do tshuva. If you're choshuv, someone else puts the sak for efer, puts the sak for efer upon you, and the fact that yutzol rabim, everyone there was choshev, everyone was responsible for the gula. And then we have what's relative to our discussion here in Sefer Yechezkel. It was not Mordechai the Esther, it was Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah, and the way we know it was in their zuchus is because of this very pasuk. And this very pasuk says they are the survivors, they survived from the Kivshan Ho'esh, they brought an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the world and how they refused to bow down to an idol. And in that merit, v'nakotu bifnehem, they succeeded in cutting off in front of their eyes the ra'os, asher asu l'chol to'avosehem, which is a code word for uprooting the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Yud, readings v'yodu ki ani Hashem. At this point in time, you will know, ki ani Hashem lo alchinam dibarti. When you find yourself in this desperate situation, you will recognize that everything that Hashem said to us through the prophets in the earlier days was true. It was not for nothing. La'asais lachem hara hazos, that I bring about you. It was not for nothing that I speak about, that I tell you that this evil would come upon you. Look, it happened. If it happened, it goes to show that it was true, and therefore you have to now do tshuva in order that you can come back to Eretz Yisrael. Let's see Pasuk Yud in the Mitzvah. Stav at Pasuk Yud v'yadu oz yitnu lev lodas asher ani Hashem haneman b'tashlam gemul hamaseh. You will then know when you suffer the punishment, you will then come to the awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that has the power to give reward and to bring punishment. Lo yalchinam ki im digmul hamaseh. A person always gets what he deserves. Rashi, there is none. Radak, short Radak. Radak says, "V'yadu ki el kilo yochinam dibarti kimo bechinam kolayma sheyiskayim asher dibarti." When Hashem says will come true, v'chein el ha'aroin titein es ha'edus kimo uvi aron. It's a grammatical form. The el, it's as if there is an extra. The vav, just like there, the vav is uvi aron. The El Harain. So here, the Yadu, it means you will then us.
Isn't it the El rather than the S?
The El Harain titein S Yadus, kama uve Aron, in the Aron. I think here it means Oz Yadu. Here the Vav, the Yadu, the Vav serves as a shortened form of the word Oz. Oz Yadu. Instead of saying the word Oz, we have a shortened version, the Yadu. Just like the pasuk, it says uve aroyim titein es hoedus. The long version would have been el ha'aroyim titein el hoedus. Sometimes the pasuk is makatsa. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk yud aleph koy. Now we begin a new prophecy. Koy ma Hashem Elokim. No, it's not new. I'm sorry. This is a continuation. Koy ma Hashem Elokim hakei bichapicha. Clap with your hands. Urika biraglecha. Stamp with your feet. Ve'emor and say och. And say the word och. I aleph ches el concerning kol ta'avoyes ra'ois beis Yisrael due to all of the abominations, the evil abominations of the Jewish people asher b'cherev, that because of these abominations we suffer the consequences b'cherev bara'av v'adever yipolu, they will fall through sword, through famine, and through plague. Let's see the mitzvah. Now, before you even read the mefarshim, let me ask you a simple question. When it says over here to clap with your hands and stamp with your feet and to say och, to say make noise, are we celebrating or are we mourning? So the truth is, it's very interesting, is both, you can interpret the pasuk both ways. And indeed the commentators interpret the pasuk both ways. Its extremes are the same. The same way we mourn, we celebrate. We mourn with dancing. You clap, you stamp on the ground, you sing. What?
Sometimes when you're very angry.
When you're in mourning, and Rachmana Litzlo, when a person is in mourning.
It's not mourning, it's anger.
frustration. I don't know if it's anger, it's frustration.
I think every time in Navi we've come across the clapping of hands, it's
mourning.
Painful.
The Pshuta Shel Mikra is mourning. This is a form of mourning. However, I think the Abarbanel, other commentators, maybe the Malbim, they explain that it means, no, you will rejoice. How could it say you're going to rejoice when people are dying in the street? Cherev Dever Yipolu. It doesn't mean, it means not at that moment, it means in hindsight, you will celebrate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that our punishment is complete, so now we can begin anew. We can start all over again. We've learned the lessons of sin, and this time it's going to be different. This time we're going to succeed without fail. It's, you know, in life, extremes, like if a person is put in extreme cold or extreme heat, you can't tell the difference. Rachman al-Assan, a person was put in a room that's a billion degrees over zero or a billion degrees below zero, you can't tell the difference.
No, you can't tell.
What?
You can
still sweat. When it's 100 degrees, you'll sweat, and when it's 0 degrees, you'll be chilly. But if it's 1,000 degrees, you'll be gone. Even if you can withstand, even if you can theoretically withstand, okay, there's probably a breaking point where a person can still withstand, can survive for a couple of seconds. The extreme cold and extreme heat, the mind can't tell the difference. Because when you're dealing with extremes, there is no difference. It's interesting, when it comes to celebration, mourning, extreme celebration, expresses itself through the movement of hands and feet and sound. And mourning is exactly the same. There's always a parallel between mourning and joy. So in this pasuk, indeed, the commentators have two different approaches. Either it means mourning, which is simple as Ramchal said. However, a more homiletic approach to this pasuk forces us to acknowledge the possibility that the pasuk means that we will rejoice now that our punishment is complete. It is over. We have a clean slate. And we have gained the lessons of the consequence of sin, and we can start fresh. Let's see the mitzvah of Sela Pasuk Yud Aleph Hakei Bechapecha. Hit with your hands. Kaf El Kaf Kasher Yasu Hamikoinenais. The mourners, the people who are lamenting. Urka Beraglecha. Stamp with your feet. Boat Raglecha Boaretz. Kick your feet into the earth. Ki Oz Nire Ki Ilu Mirakea. Umiradei ta'aretz, as if the earth is quaking, okay, the earth is shaking. V'hu inyan tsar v'yavelos. V'emor och, say the word och, emor kimisoinein he'och. Say the word, that's an expression which comes forth from one's mouth. Al kol ha'toyavos ha'ra'os sh'asu beis Yisrael, due to all of the sins of the Jewish people, asher ba'avuram yiplu b'chedev v'rav v'dever, because of their sins they have fallen fall to the sword, they have died from starvation, and they have died in a plague. Let's see, Rashi, Pasuk, Yud, Aleph, Urka, in Yana Yore, Olav. We don't really know what this word means. We have to look at the context. The context will teach what this word means. Make ragloi ala oretz, umiradeid esatit. Stamp your foot on the ground and cause the tit, the mud, to move, to shake. Urka means, roika ha oretz al hamoyim. Hashem Reika, he spreads out. So spreading out the earth, there it means to spread out. Here it doesn't necessarily mean to spread. Here it like means to cause to move, to cause to the earth to quake. Moroidei desatit v'hu derech evel. This is a form of mourning. I just want to point out this very beautiful expression Rashi uses in Yonai Yore Olaf, which means from the context we derive its precise meaning. In Yonai means the context. Yer means to teach, a love upon the precise meaning of this word, which relates to the earth, obviously, Roika Haaretz Al Hamoyim, and in this context it means to the bang on the earth. The emar och tzakas yogoyim v'oy. The word och is an expression which means woe. Och, what's the numerical value of och? Aleph Ches. Aleph Ches is 9. 1 plus 8, last I learned, is 9. What is tes? Tes is toiv. Yeah. Toiv. When the good has been taken away, it's an expression that the toiv has dissipated. The ches, the tes, which used to be you complete, shalem, has been broken apart. When it breaks apart, it turns into an aleph and a ches. You can break it into many different letters, right? But at least once, even the small amount, it has begun to decompose. The toiv has decomposed. The aleph broke away from the tes, leaving us with aleph and ches. No longer do we have toiv. Toiv moed. Okay. Let's go to the Radak, Pasik, Yud Aleph. Koyama Hashem, Hakei Bechapecha, hit with your hand. Kapecha, Bechapecha, Kikapecha, there's missing a base. The Pasik would have been better off if I had a big Kapecha. Kumo Vayispek Eskapov, Oihika Bechapecha, Al Yarkech, hit with your hands on your thigh. Kumo Sapakti Al Yarech. It means clap with your hands or clap on your thigh. Make noise with your hands. When a person bangs one foot on the other foot, it's as if the earth is shaking. The earth is moving tachtav. Somehow you're banging one foot with another foot. I'm not sure that the Radak is saying the same thing as Rashi. It could be Rashi means to stamp on the ground. From Radak, it's more mashma that you are banging one foot against another foot and it looks like you're walking. But it's the same idea. You're hitting yourself. The emor and say ech in yonoi oy the avoy wo chintigim yonasan voy. Why el kol toy avoy roisa basis shol samuch al samuch. Okay, these two words are connected one to another. I'm not sure what that means. Uchamahu mispar mifkad haam nahare nachale devash vechema vehadom lohem. I don't know what this means. It's some grammatical form of language. Asher b'cheref, asher b'oynish hato'evos b'cheref b'ra'av v'dever yipolu. Due to the punishment for your abominations, you will suffer the consequence of cheref, ra'av, and dever. Let's go now to Pasuk Yud Beis. Harachayk, here we go, and we go into much more detail. Harachayk, those that are far from war, the people who think that they escaped the war, the enemy, not so fast. Badever yamus, they will die in by a plague. The akaroif, those who have not escaped the war, those who are near the city, they will die by the sword. They will die in the war. Bacherav yipol. The hanishar, those who remain in the city. The hanotzur, those who are besieged. Barav yamusu, they will die through famine. So there's no way out of it.
No escape.
No escape. V'chileisi chamosi bohem, I will finish off my anger. Hashem kaviyachol has a measure of anger. It's limited. That's the bracha. Hashem's anger is not infinite. It's limited. And therefore, when Hashem will pour out the anger, there's no more anger. It's empty. Once it's empty, so therefore there's no more punishment. Everything, punishment comes to an end. Let's take a look over here. Mitzudas pasik yud aleph. I'm sorry, pasik yud beis. Harachayk ha marchik atzvei min hamlchama, those who succeed in distancing themselves from the battlefield. V'yivrach la'rotzos hagoyim lihimolet shama, hinei, lo yimolet min hadever, they will not escape the plague. V'yamusba, they will die there. V'hakaroyv ha makriv atzvei lehamlchama, those who go and engage in battle. Yipol b'cheref oyev, will fall by the sword of the enemy. V'hanisha b'hanotzor, v'hanisha ha'v'ir v'hu b'sorech ha'motzor, those who remain in the city and are under siege. In other words, none of the above. Ki ha'ivim yitzor molech, the enemy is begzunna, is besieging the city. Hinei hu yamus b'ra'av b'mechesroin halachim, they will die through starvation. V'chilisi ashlim bam kol chamosi, I will release all of my anger until I no longer have any anger stored up. Rashi, pasig yudbeis, v'netzar, hanesaf, elo'ir, v'yotzaru olav, those that are ingathered into the city and are besieged in the city. V'chilisi chamosi ashlim kol charoini, the Chavtsi Bira Asam, I will finish off my anger and my desire against them due to their evil. Radak, Pasuk Yud Beis, Harachayk Misha Yachik Atzmai Min Ha'ivim, Vivrach Le'aretzos, B'dever Yamush, anyone who runs away from the city is not going to escape, they're going to die by the plague. V'yakarov She'yasigu Ha'ivim, B'achad of Yipol, those that are near the city will be killed by the enemy. By the Surah Nishav, Hanotzur, Hanishav, Yushalayim, Hu, Sham, Bematzur, Berav Yamus, Vianotzur, Paul, Min, Neitzer, Te'ena. Those who guard, this is a borrowed term. I think what he means to say over here is the word Natsur is not a real word. There's no word for a siege. There is no such word that is exclusive to the concept of a siege. Maybe it's because it's not a good thing. The Torah only has words in Lashon Kodesh, only has pleasant words. So when you want to describe in Lashon Kodesh things that are unpleasant, we have to borrow words. So what's the proper word to borrow? To guard. What are you doing when you lay siege to a city? You are guarding the city. You're surrounding it, and you're making sure no one goes in, no one goes out.
It's just talking about the people who are inside, not the ones who are doing.
The ones who are doing the besieging are doing the same thing. It's the same thing. So I think the Radak here is telling us something very, very profound. The Hanotsur, the word Hanotsur is not a real word. It's a pa'ul, it's an expression that comes from min noitzer te'ena, one who guards his figs. A farmer, or what is a person who has an orchard, what is he called? Botanist?
No.
What? A farmer? If you have an orchard and you tend the orchard, you're called a farmer? I always thought a farmer is someone who only deals with grain. You deal with grain, wheat, barley. But an orchard, there's another word for a person who...
Grower.
Horticulturist.
A culturist?
Horticulturist.
That's the one who studies. Like our size. A farmer is a person who plants and plows and sows and reaps and harvests. Okay, that's a farmer. Grain. Grain. But an orchard...
I think they're called growers.
Growers? It's too simplistic.
Landowner.
Okay, there's got to be a fancier word for landowner. A landowner. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is. The person who tends the vineyard. Not the vineyard, the orchard. So I'm suggesting over here is that Lashon Kodesh is a holy language. There is no word in Lashon Kodesh for example, for the action of marital relations. Okay, that's a very famous yisoid. Why? The Torah only speaks Lashon Nikiyah. It's a holy language. It's a holy language, and in the holy language there are certain words which don't exist. So when you want to describe certain things, you have to borrow other words and allude to what you are referring to. In fact, you know, there's no word for Hashem in the Torah. Yud-kei-vav-kei is an Aramaic word. Hoya, hoy-ve-ve-yeh. If it was in Hebrew, it would be yud-kei, yud-kei. The Hashem, if you want to say, if you want to make a composite of the word Hoya, Hove, V'yeye, it would be
Hoya becomes
Havo. Havo. Okay, I don't remember all the details. So we once had discussed this. I'll go look this up again. But if you would want to say Hashem in Hebrew, it would have to be, I believe, Yudke Yudke. But man. Hashem is beyond man's comprehension. It's impossible for a human being to have any understanding of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the only way we can relate to Kaddish Baruch Hu is through translation. And therefore, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is a composite of Hoya Hove V'yiye, which is Aramaic, which is the composite of past, present, future in a translated form of the word, not in the pure form of the word, because Hashem is beyond our understanding. Likewise, when it comes to different concepts in Lashon Kodesh, there are no words. The Radak seems to be saying, a siege is not something Hashem had in His plan for this world. A siege means man is trying to kill another man. Man is trying to harm another man. A siege? That's not the right thing. If we talk about a siege, we borrow the word guard to guard, yeah?
Play on words is the word kadesh.
Kadesh, that means designation, exactly. It all means designation. A woman that is designated for the purposes of immorality.
Right.
Zinus.
So play on the word, the opposite of
Kodesh.
The word is used
in Shoshkin. Yes. Yes, so we're saying, he's saying wherever it's used, he's saying a general rule that whenever it's used, it's being used in the form of a borrowed term. That's exactly what he's saying. Fine.
So the people inside the city are on guard.
They're on guard, right? They're on guard because of the one on the outside is watching them. Exactly. Okay, let's go further. Let's see over here. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel says, Vidatem, when all this happens, Ki ani Hashem biyois chalehem b'seich gilu lehem. Svivois mizbichoy sehem. Now here's a very profound idea. The way you're going to know that I am your God, that I am your Hashem, is the midah keneged midah, the hashkocha pratis that will occur at the time of your death. The fact that the bodies of the people will be strewn on top of the idols will be a hashkocha, an indication. The reason why you died is because you worshipped this idol. If a person will just stand, will die from natural causes, will die from some violent death out in the field. So who's going to connect the dots? You know why the person died? He worshipped the idol. The Navi told him, don't worship the idol. So you're going to say, the reason why I died was because the economy was no good. I starved. There was starvation. The reason why is because I went hunting and a wild animal ate me up alive. It's not because I worshipped an idol. You want to go tell me everything happens? But when the person's body falls dead upon the altar upon which he has offered the sacrifices to gods that the Navi told him not to do, you can't deny the hashkacha. You can't deny the Navi said not to do it. You did not listen.
Obvious.
It's obvious. So that's what the Pasuk of here says. Vidatem, you're going to know that I am Hashem. Well, how are you going to know that I am Hashem? When? Bihiyois, when? At the moment, chalalehem, your dead bodies are going to be found besoich gilulehem, sevivois mizbichoisehem. It's going to be found resting upon your idols that are surrounding the altars which were used to bring sacrifices to these idols. And furthermore, El where? El kol give harama, upon all of the hills, the high hills, b'chol rashei haharim, and upon all of the high mountains, and v'sachas kol eitzranon, and below every leafy tree which was used as an asherah in the valleys, v'sachas kol elo avuta, underneath every thick tree, was also used as some type of idol, mekoyim asher nasnu sham reach nichayach, the place where you offered a satisfying fragrance, lechol gilulehem, to all of your abominations. So the hashkacha pratis of your body is being found dying precisely in this location where you worship all of these idols is a clear indication that you are being punished for this particular sin, and it is undeniable. Now, this pasuk is also unique. In addition to bringing out this very profound concept, there's something very unique about this pasuk which does not appear very rarely, if ever, is that it says "Nasnu sham reach nichayach." Throughout Tanakh, there are probably hundreds of pasukim that talk about the sin of offering sacrifices to idols. Almost nowhere does it say the term the Jewish people offered sacrifices to give a reach nichayach, to give a degree of satisfaction. It's hard to translate the words reach nichayach with all of its flavor, l'chol gilulehem. And that's what it says here in this pasuk. Because this term is miyuchit for offering sacrifices to Hashem, to give Hashem nachas ruach. Here it goes to show how far we've fallen. Even this sacred term was abused for the worshipping of idols. Let's see the pasuk Yud Gimel in the Mitzvot David. Vidatem kishiyu chalehem ben gilulehem. When you discover that your dead bodies are found between your gilulehem, makam haresha, sham hamishpat, the place of evil, that's where justice is served. Oz teidu shani Hashem haneman b'tashlum gimul hamaseh. It is I, Hashem, who is faithful in punishing one for his evil deeds. El kol hachalalim yiyu al kol giva. All of the bodies will be found upon the hills. Rama v'chol rashi v'chulu v'chol eile, a tree in Eila avuta, a thick tree. Ilan Eila hameruba, this Eila is the name of a tree. What does it say in the Mitzvot Siyon? He says kilua, intertangle. The branches are intertwined.
He has, for the two terms, he has leafy tree, flowering tree, and the other one under every branchy.
Branchy, right. Kilua means there are many branches that are intertwined
but
one with another.
Eight avos, right? So we have
intertwined. Avos, it's different. Okay, let's see. Eila avuta, ilon eila. It's a name of a tree. Hamruba ba'anafim, which has many branches. Ukiluim zebze, and they're intertwined one with another. Reach nichoyach hakitores sh'aleho hakitores sh'male reach liyos lo l'nachas ruach. They offered incense upon these altars to give satisfaction to the idols. V'yama zel lufi mach sheves oivdeho. Of course, it's nonsense. How could you say such a thing? That the idols have satisfaction? The idols are nothing. They're stone and wood. So the pasuk just means that in the corrupt understanding of the worshippers, this is what they thought, that they are giving these idols satisfaction. Rashi, pasuk yud gimel, Eila. So we have a French word. What does it mean in this French word?
Branch.
Branch. Okay. Avusa. Branch. So maybe it's coming to disagree with the mesudos. The mesudos seems to say it's a certain type. It's a certain min, a species of trees.
Where this word is used in Chumash.
Yeah.
They usually give a name of a tree called a terebinth, whatever that is.
Okay. Next, the word avuta l'shoin eitz avos sha'anafav mirubim thick. Its branches are many. Radak pasuk yud gimel, pasuk yud gimel vidatem vidatem el kol givah kmo al. El here could be substituted with the word al. We had this so many times. Kmo al kmo rabim v'chol rashi harim chaser vav. It would say uvichol rashi harim. Okay, the words have been written chaser vav achibah v'chu kmo uvichol v'chein shemesh yireach ruven shimon v'hadayim lohem. Avuta min eitzavos. He learns like the mitzudos. It's a certain type of tree. Yoimar min avos avuta. The word avos turns into avuta. Linikeva bedoge shatav with the dad and the tav. Kemo min edoim adoma. From edoim, it turns into the word adoma. Adoim. Okay, but here it's adoma. Adoma. I don't know what this means. It's a grammatical expression. Let's see, what time is it? Okay, we have one more minute. A few more minutes. Pasuk Yudal. Pasuk Yudal. Hashem says, I will then spread out. I will spread out my hand. I will extend, stretch out my hand. Alehem. And I'll make the land desolate. I will stretch out my hand. Two different expressions mean the same thing. The midbar divlasa, from the midbar divlasa, name of a place, b'chol moshvos sehem, in all of your dwelling places. Then the yadu, you will then know ki ani Hashem. Let's see the mesudas pasuk yudalid. V'natisi lehakois bam, I'm going to smite them. Umeshama hakol yitmehu migodol hachurban, everyone will be astonished due to the intensity of the destruction. Midbar divlasa. So here the Mitzvah says, Misham Taschil Mikoimois Hashemimois, V'cheinia B'chol Moshvoi Sehem. That's where the Shemama will begin. The desolation will begin in this location, and from there it will spread to the entire land of Israel. V'yadu Oz Yedu Ki Ani Hashem, Sheneman Neman L'shalem Gmul. It is faithful to pay to repunish. Rashi, Pasuk Yidal Shemama, Me'in Yoshev, there are no inhabitants, Mishama Timahon, Sheyitmehu Aleha Royeha, they will be in shock, witnessing its korban. Radak pasuk yedalid v'notisi shemama mishama hakofel lechazek, poetic repetition. Mimiba divlasa bedalid, okay, divlasa, there is a dalid divlakimo rivlasa beresh, just like rivlasa beresh. So therefore we're saying these two places are exactly the same thing. The rivlasa and divlasa are two places that are two words which are refer to the same location. The dalid and the resh many times can be interchanged. V'chein duel ruel. V'zoch habak mazilufi shom hoyu nichvur netzar kasher tzoru chilu al Yerushalayim. Why this location? So he provides more insight. This is where Nebuchadnezzar was staying. This is where he staged the battle. V'sham helu tzidkiyahu, and that's where tzidkiyahu was brought. They brought him to Rivlasa. Kemosha kasa v'yelu osu el melech bavel Rivlasa. So that's where the korban will begin. It will begin where he is stationed, to the entire Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this concludes Perek Vav, and Perek Zayin begins a new theme, a new nevuah. Louder?